Market Street. This is FieldPot.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the City by the Bay. Today is Thursday, the 26th of September, 2013. On this date in 1687, the City Council of Amsterdam votes to support William of Orange's invasion of England, which became the Glorious Revolution. 1777, British troops occupy Philadelphia. 1945, Lieutenant Colonel Peter Dewey of the OSS becomes the first American soldier killed in Vietnam. 1950, UN troops recapture Seoul from North Korean forces. 1960, the first Kennedy-Nixon debate. 1971, Freetown Christiania was founded in Copenhagen. 1984, the UK agrees reluctantly to hand over Hong Kong. 1989, anti-censorship law is approved in the Soviet Union. Too little, too late. Today is the European Day of Languages. Birthdays today are Johnny Appleseed, T.S. Eliot, George Gershwin, and Marty Robbins. Today, the Georgian Orthodox Church celebrates Ketevanoba, the day of the holy great martyr Ketevan, queen of Georgia. She was killed in Shiraz, Iran, after refusing to give up her Christian faith. Today, it's just me, Mark Mullen. Be sure to post to our forum at fieldpod.com or send us an email at fieldpod@gmail.com. One correction from last week's pod regarding the IPRM meeting in Ergneti, in which we said that the UN was present and that the Russian side was not in attendance. Those were bitter lies. The UN has no part in the Ergneti IPRM, which is co-facilitated by the EUMM and OSCE. Also, the Russian side was indeed in attendance. Sorry about that, and thanks to the dedicated and well-informed listener who straightened things out. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Politra column this week is about the need for a clear economic policy in Georgia. Under the former regime, they were pretty predictable in their pro-business libertarian views, but now, in the absence of a clear path, there's plenty of random ideas showing up via members of parliament, the justice ministry, and elsewhere. It's prevented a needed increase in international investment. Most of all, business loves predictability. There is a new report of public attitudes in Georgia, results of the September 2013 survey carried out by CRRC for NDI, funded by CETA. Short version is, it's the economy, stupid. Question after question, jobs, jobs, jobs are what people care about. Most people said things haven't changed much in the last year, but more said that there were good changes, particularly in terms of pensions and the cost of health care. But jobs remains foremost in everybody's mind. Big local issue, interestingly, was water. There is a feeling among many that politicians don't talk enough about high transportation costs. Two-thirds of the population still consider themselves unemployed, but the trend is getting a little better over the past 7 months. Western Georgia is, in general, a little more satisfied over the last year than Eastern Georgia. Health, agriculture, and education were the top priorities of the public. Almost three-quarters of the people don't want BI to step down. February 2012, only a quarter could correctly identify their majoritarian member of parliament. Now, it's almost two-thirds. Tbilisi is more worried about the Kremlin than the regions are. NATO and the EU are still quite popular, but three-quarters want the railway to Russia to run through Abkhazia again. The link to the full report will be on our forum. It is worth checking out. Following up on last week's story about the Russian installation of barbed wire fences around the South Ossetian boundary, on the 24th of September, Russian border guards resumed installing fences in the village of Dvani. Some orchards and fields will be outside the boundary after the Russians drag the line further into Georgian territory. Misha commented on the situation by saying these annexations may only be solved by gaining international support. Therefore, all political forces should unite. According to him, it is unprecedented that this year the Georgian prime minister was not invited to the U.S. or Europe for an official visit. That's not exactly true. On the 25th of September, Russian guards told residents of the village whose crops will be on the other side of the administrative boundary line after the installation of fences that they have 3 days to harvest their crops. These residents of the village of Dvani began to take items from their homes and flee. The Russians are using the constitution of South Ossetia and the maps of the Soviet Union to justify the move. The government reported the situation to international organizations. Representatives of the Ministry of Internal Affairs intend to take foreign diplomats to the site to monitor the situation. Defense Minister Irakli Alasania said that this is a test for the Georgian government, which must be passed correctly and effectively. U.S. Ambassador to Georgia Richard Norland said the situation in the village of Dvani is tragic. Norland stated that the international community will engage in talks and meetings along with Georgia and other parties. From our listeners, be interested to hear which ambassadors actually go to Dvani. That's always an interesting test to see how much they really want to know about operationally how the rubber hits the road in terms of Georgian and Russian relations and how serious their fears are about signaling. On the 24th of September, Russian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Grigory Karasin reported the Kremlin's position to the EU Special Representative for the South Caucasus, Philip Lafort, in a telephone call, who, by the way, used to be ambassador to Georgia back in the day. French ambassador to Georgia. Russia accuses Georgia of provocations, saying, and I quote, "propagandist hysteria is being kindled about absolutely legal activities by Shkinvali, which seeks to reinforce its state border. False assertions are spread as if the boundary line is dragged in the depths of Georgia's territory. Georgian police are directly involved in the process of organizing a protest of locals, which is afterwards covered by media with bias," Karasin said in a statement, proving that he's just an annoying pill. He added that, quote, "it's hard for Georgians to recognize the results which followed the military adventures sparked by Misha," end quote. Karasin also expressed his hope during the telephone call that European monitors will prevent Georgian authorities from making irresponsible steps, especially prior to the October presidential elections. Minister of Foreign Affairs Maya Panjikidze said that the Dizi developments are a part of a policy begun in 2011 prior to the meetings and discussions between Karasin and the Georgian Prime Minister's Special Representative for Relations with Russia, Zura Abashidze. On the 20th of September, Abashidze stated that at this stage it was fundamentally unacceptable for Georgia to restore diplomatic relations with Russia. On the 19th of September, Abashidze held his fourth meeting with the Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of Russia, Grigory Karasin, in Prague. They discussed the realization of restoring trade relations and the return of Georgian products to the Russian market. Regular flights between the countries were also discussed. On the 22nd of September, the EU's special advisor to Georgia on legal and constitutional issues, Thomas Hammerberg, presented a long report after 8 months of observation. Hammerberg asked the government of Georgia to not politicize investigations into former officials and said that Georgian society must stop looking into the past and instead think about the future. He underlined the lack of involvement of women in politics and said that child poverty and the poor education system must become a major political priority. He was critical of the homophobic rally on the 17th of May led by Orthodox clerics and stated that the legal reaction to these events was insufficient. Tamar Chugashvili, assistant to the Prime Minister on Human Rights and Gender Equality Issues, said that the government will fully implement the recommendations of Hammerberger and will launch a human rights action plan. On the 24th of September, Misha met Obama. Misha thanked him for cooperation between the countries. The text of the conversation was later released on Misha's official textbook page. Obama complimented Misha on the legacy of democracy and reform he's left in Georgia. Misha spoke about his future plans, quote, "besides continuing my political activities, I also intend to be involved in educational projects that deal with preparing the new political elite as well as training winemakers. I also want to open a presidential library," end quote. The State Audit Office has found violations in the financial declarations of Nino Bourgenadze's Democratic Movement Party. According to the office, Bourgenadze's party recently started opening new branches in the regions but didn't register all of them. 90 officers were discovered, while only 19 of them were initially declared. Since this declaration, the number has increased from 19 declared offices to 72. A lot of underhanded money seeming to slosh around the Democratic Movement Party, and they seem to be getting a little bit of, Bourgenadze seems to be amazingly, from just completely political nowhere, getting a little bit of traction. Aslan Smirba, the former mayor of Batumi, who fled to Moscow in 2004, together with the former head of Ajada, Aslan Abashidze, stated that he was personally having negotiations with Abkhaz leaders to form a Georgian-Abkhaz confederation. He named the ex-head of the Abkhaz presidential administration, Valery Arshba, and the ex-foreign minister, Sergei Shamba, as partners. Smirba said, and I quote, "I have very good relations with Arshba and Shamba. I can say the same about the prime minister of Abkhazia. I guarantee that after the 27th of October, negotiations with Abkhazia will commence to resolve the problem of confederation. We will achieve it. I guarantee it." If you want to know the truth, 80% of the issues have already been settled, end quote, Smirba assures. Yeah. Following up on the murder of Russian diplomat Dmitry Vishernev and the fatal wounding of his wife in Sukhumi on the 9th of September, the general prosecutor of Abkhazia stated that a Russian citizen from Chechnya who was recently detained for a shooting in Batumi is a suspect in the diplomat's shooting. According to Russian media, a Russian investigative committee has requested that Georgia extradite the murder suspect Yusuf Lakayev to Russia. The head of the press office of Georgia prosecutor's office said Georgia hasn't received any information about the extradition request yet. As reported last week, Lakayev was detained in Batumi on September 13th, along with two Georgians who are suspected of aiding him. Certainly think about some people that would be interesting to extradite to Georgia that are sitting around Russia right now. On the 23rd of September, the Central Elections Commission said that it registered 23 out of 54 applicants as candidates for the 27th of October presidential elections. This is the largest number of candidates since Georgia held its first presidential election in 1990. 10 of the 23 candidates have been nominated by political parties. The rest are independent candidates. According to the law, a registered candidate has the right to withdraw from the race before the 17th of October. If a candidate decides to withdraw after this deadline, his or her name will still be included on the ballot papers. On the 19th of September, Georgian Dream presidential candidate Georgi Margvelashvili presented his pre-election program at the Sports Palace. He named the economy as a major priority. His goals are to attract investment and to expand Georgia's export markets. He said the long-term guarantee of national security will be achieved by integration with the EU and NATO. It's especially important for Georgia to achieve deoccupation of the territories of Abkhazia and the Sakhin Valley region and to restore the country's territorial integrity within international recognized boundaries. We offer our compatriots living in Abkhazia and the Sakhin Valley region to build a successful democratic state together. That was a long quote. BI later said, if you trust me, you should trust Georgi Margvelashvili as well. Prosecutor's office stated that Chief Prosecutor Archil Kvilashvili was in Moscow on a four-day visit. Reportedly, Kvilashvili participated in the annual international conference and held meetings with his foreign counterparts, but did not meet with senior Russian officials. On the 24th of September, members of the European Parliament visited the former Interior Minister Vano Medabashvili. After the meeting, the delegation called on the authorities to speed up Medabashvili's trial and said it's unacceptable to hold a political leader in pretrial detention for such a long period of time. You know, let's be honest. Those are the people that would go visit Vano Medabashvili are the allies in the European Parliament of the UNM. On the other hand, they're absolutely right, and it's completely ridiculous that Medabashvili has been held this long. I mean, supposedly they're interviewing thousands of people and whatever else, but, you know, come on, let's move this thing along. On the 23rd of September, Bacho Akhalaya's lawyer accused the chief prosecutor and justice minister of pressuring the prosecutor in the case. Recently, the prosecutor's office switched the prosecutor in Akhalaya's case from Revaz Tadoy to Ia Dajania because Nadoy is supposedly ill. However, on the same day, Akhalaya's wife, Ani Nadareshvili, saw and filmed Nadoy feeling fine outside his house, washing his car, and the claim that his health has deteriorated seemed a little hollow. Nadareshvili posted two videos on her Facebook page. Earlier, Akhalaya stated on his Facebook page that he returned to Georgia to answer society's questions. However, the prosecutor's office is afraid of his answers. Quote, "For the last 10 months, the tragicomedy planned by the prosecutor's office continues against me. They didn't spare any efforts, used all the banned methods, including intimidation of people, blackmail, bribery, falsification of testimonies to assure the public that I was a criminal. As expected, all these accusations are bursting like soap bubbles as they were based on lies and falsehood. The prosecutor's office has left the only accusation where the six criminal authorities accused me of depriving them of privileges, the control of running of prisons. These are the people who ran not only prisons before 2005, but all organized crime in the country. The feeble prosecutor's office has nothing left but Kvilashvili to hide the prosecutor to prolong my imprisonment, Achalaya said in the statement. On the 24th of September, former chairman of the Development Foundation of Tbilisi Development Fund, Georgi Sabanadze, was arrested by Italian cops in Florence. Georgian authorities have wanted to extradite Sabanadze since August 2013. He's accused of laundering a total of 34 million lari. On the 24th of September, one of the defendants in the high-ranking, high-profile murder cases of Sandro Ghirvliani, Dato Chiktunidze, was released from prison in Athens. His attorney said he plans to arrive in Georgia and give testimony. Greek law enforcement arrested him when he attempted to leave the country for Turkey. He's accused of granting privileges to the four former Ministry of Interior officials convicted of murdering Ghirvliani while they were in prison. I mean, the privileges were while they were in prison, not the murder. On the 21st of September, a former Kudi official, Oleg Melnikov, was extradited, who's Georgian, was extradited from Kiev to Tbilisi. His attorney said the former official requested his own extradition, where he intends to prove his innocence. Melnikov was detained in Ukraine in December 2012 upon the request of Georgian law enforcement agencies after he was charged with exceeding official power. In July, separate charges were brought against Melnikov relating to the Ghirvliani murder case. On the 18th of September, Kacha Chumberidze, the Energy Minister Kashi Kaladze's bodyguard, had a car collision in Zestavoni in which he ran over a 27-year-old woman, Khatia Sneladze. On the 19th of September, Kaladze released an official statement regarding the collision in which he denied reports that his convoy ran over Sneladze. He explained that I was in the ministry building all day long. A member of my guard was driving his private car in Zestavoni and ran over a young woman. I hope the young woman will survive. I want to ask the media, the crash is a tragedy for both sides, and please don't make a political story out of it. It could happen to any of us. Former Member of Parliament and businessman Levon Pirveli, who fled Georgia after the Rose Revolution, returned to Georgia and announced his intention to resume his political activities. Pirveli said he will soon lead the youth wing of the Party of Industrialists. Youth wing. He's not a young guy. Anyway, Pirveli is a Georgian rich guy. Before Shevardnadze resigned, he was a member of parliament from Svaneti and was involved in the wildly corrupt electricity sector, but he never became friends with Misha and his team. When the former defense minister, Iraklio Kvilashvili, in 2001, Pirveli accused him, along with Misha, of lobbying for the interests of the American company AES, and said that there was some bent tender or something like that. But, you know, there wasn't. In the restaurant in Tbilisi, Pirveli shot Givi Targamadze, a representative of the NGO Liberty Institute, who's now a UNM MP. As newspapers wrote, they got into a fight over a woman. However, Targamadze admitted that there was a conflict between him and Pirveli over an investigation of the activities of Pirveli's company, Anglo Oil. He also accused the authorities. He also said that the authorities accused Pirveli of premeditated murder of a 21-year-old student in a Tbilisi restaurant. However, one of Pirveli's security guards took the blame, but was himself killed a few months later. Killer was never found. Levon Pirveli is a dangerous person and not, shall we say, an institution builder. Anybody who happens to meet with Gogi Topadze, head of the Industrialist Party, should ask him about that. On the 23rd of September, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Maya Panchakidze, said that Georgia may skip the Sochi Olympic, not boycott, but skip the Sochi Olympic Games in response to the accreditation of Abkhaz and South Ossetian journalists in Russia. Later, Zurab Eshidze, the Prime Minister, Special Representative for Relations with Russia, stated that they have firm guarantees that neither Abkhazia nor South Ossetia will take part in the Sochi Winter Olympic Games as independent states and that Georgia is not planning to boycott the Olympics. The Ministry of Internal Affairs defined the meaning of immoral behavior in public places, a crime punishable with a 200 lari fine. According to the ministry, immoral behavior is defined as actions which show disrespect to others, including sexual-type actions, completely or partly becoming naked in public and satisfying physiological needs. According to the regulation, drinking in public places is also punishable, since, of course, it's satisfying physiological needs. Streets, however, are not covered by the drinking ban, but stadiums, squares, and parks, and other public spaces where physiological needs can come to the fore are covered. When the size of the fines for physiological need satisfaction increased, it led to protests, as many thought it meant a ban on kissing. A bunch of young people showed their opposition by organizing a giant kiss-in and demanding a clear definition of what constitutes immoral behavior. On the 20th of September, political activist Irakli Kakabadze protested against Channel 1 by throwing a bag of cow dung on the front steps of the building of the channel after he was not allowed to attend the channel's board meeting. Kakabadze stated that the Nazi UNM was giving the Georgian public bullshit. He also made it clear to the Georgian public that brainwashing and propaganda is not the way. The public needs the truth. According to rumors reported in ireporter.ge, BI promised people in Kakheti that they will have 1,000 lari vouchers by the end of the year, with which they'll be able to buy equipment such as washing machines and refrigerators. Spielpod's own Matthias Hooter, a senior analyst and media program manager for the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, filed a complaint with the Constitutional Court to annul a provision suspending the sale of agricultural land to foreign nationals till the end of 2014. Hooter stated that the amendment violates the constitutional right to property and requested the court suspend enforcement of the disputed provision. As a reminder, the legislative amendment went into force on the 17th of July after Misha signed it into law. According to the newspaper Prime Time, Misha may run for the post of Tbilisi mayor. The newspaper reports that other candidates for the post may include Member of Parliament Georgi Vashadze, former health minister and rector of Tbilisi State University Sandro Kvitashvili, Minister of Defense Irakli Alasania, Salome Zurabashvili, businessman Levan Vasadze, former presidential candidate Levan Gacicciladze, and perennial Nina Borjanadze. On the 25th of September, the current mayor, Gigi Ugulava, stated that he intends to run for the post once again in 2014. On the 21st of September, before leaving New York in the government's plane for official visits, Misha noticed that the words Sukhumi, which before was written on the plane's exterior, is no longer there. According to him, BI and the government used this plane for official visits, and they removed the word Sukhumi for political reasons. On the 20th of September, Georgia signed an agreement on cooperation with the International Center for Migration Development. According to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the agreement will facilitate the exchange of information on migration issues such as legal and illegal migration, border management, visa issues, trafficking, and other issues of justice, liberty, and security. I'm not sure if that's the IOM or who this group is. There's some place with roughly the same name at Princeton University, but if anybody knows, let us know who they are and what they're doing and how they connect with the IOM. Georgia established diplomatic ties with Lesotho. The Minister of Foreign Affairs, for those who don't know, it is a country in Africa entirely surrounded by South Africa. The Minister of Foreign Affairs of Lesotho said that the government intends to send an ambassador to Georgia and establish a commission on bilateral cooperation to find areas of future cooperation. Rumors are that member states Lesotho and Switzerland will support the bid by Tbilisi to become the location of the International Secretariat of Small Mountainous Nations. The SMN promotes trade in domestic animal products and cultural exchange. On the 25th of September, heavy rain caused landslides in Mestia. The ground floor of five houses in the village of Lahamula were covered in mud. The disaster also damaged several bridges and caused classes to be suspended in a local school. Residents were evacuated due to danger of more landslides. On the 21st of September, heavy rains flooded more than 60 houses in Kakheti. Water destroyed home equipment, furniture, and killed poultry. About 3,000 families were left without electricity. The Oliverdi Monastery complex was flooded. According to Mamuka Arashidze, one of TV's most beloved experti, A statue of Sandro Ghirvliani's mother, Irina Enukidze, will be set up on Chardeni Street to let everyone see that she was a victim in the fight against the regime. Supposedly, there are plans to discuss this topic with Tbilisi City Hall. Acting Director General of Channel 1, Tamas Tremaladze, plans to start his own program titled Mzheta Dialogues. The Board of Trustees of the channel also decided to suspend all tenders for making new TV shows and instead fill the programming schedule with programs based on the channel's archival material. On the 18th of September, Nicolas Racivelli resigned from the post of director of the Evgeny Mikheladze Symphony Orchestra. Racivelli resigned because 33 musicians he fired were protesting against him in front of the Ministry of Culture. The orchestra will be temporarily headed by Nino Nahutsrishvili. Minister of Economy Georgi Kvitikashvili stated that an export development agency will be established in 2014. The agency will have a special emphasis on small and medium-sized businesses with the help of experts on transitioning economies. Kvitikashvili also stated that Georgia's economy had a 1% increase in GDP. Quote, we expect an increase in the last two quarters too, hence we presume that by the end of the year there will be a 2.5 to 3% annualized rise. I'm not saying this is a very good figure. It would be better that the 6% expectation was met, but this is still important. According to ISEP Policy Institute, the most recent data on Georgia's growth performance in the second quarter of 2013 was quite encouraging. The aggregate growth figure of 1.5% appears to be low for one main reason, a major slump in construction. Government expenditures in the first 7 months of 2013 declined by 2% year-on-year. Expenditures on the purchase of goods and services were slashed by 39%. Since the beginning of 2013, exports grew by a solid 13% year-on-year. August 2013 saw a huge increase of 41%, primarily affected by the partial opening of the Russian market for Georgian wine and mineral water. Exports to Russia skyrocketed in July 2013, increasing 400% year-on-year. This is great news. Speaking of export to Russia, so there was this Swiss arrangement for the border to be monitored by a Swiss private company. Is this happening? What data is available? How does it work? Anybody know about this? Let us know. After the third visit of the Russian sanitary inspectors to Georgia, 31 Georgian alcohol makers and three mineral water manufacturers received permission to export their product to Russia. So a total of 95 Georgian winemakers, seven manufacturers of mineral water, and one beer company have permission to sell their product in Russia. On the 20th of September, the Georgian film In Bloom won the grand prize at the closing of the ninth edition of the Eurasia Film Festival held in Almaty. The film is about two young girls growing up against a background of civil war in Georgia in the 1990s. In an interview with Netgazeti.ge, Georgian Dreams presidential candidate Gyuri Margvelashvili stated, quote, I can't say that I somehow changed my mind about Stalin, but with time I can say that after one century the families who suffered because of the regime will forget about the pain. Their grandparents who suffered from the regime won't be alive anymore, and Stalin will be perceived as one of the greatest military leaders, and this is what will be written about him. Because really, he was a leader of one of the largest empires in the world, and also, he was the leader who won the Second World War. The two world wars were the biggest pain and catastrophe for Europe, and after them, mankind decided that Europe should live together. Stalin played the greatest role in this victory, and correspondingly, in the future, he will be perceived as a great politician and military leader. On the 18th of September, the head of the Georgian National Tourism Administration, Gyorgy Sigua, stated that, quote, more than 1,300,000,000 communists live in China. Third-grade school textbooks teach that Stalin is God. We will sell Stalin well as a tourism product in China, like the Jews who cannot stand Christ, but who use him as a tourist product, end quote. On the 23rd of September, Sigua said that a major PR campaign for the promotion of Georgian tourism started in Azerbaijan. He stated that Azerbaijan is the main target market for Georgia, and the campaign will cover all social networks and media resources, and in the future he plans to expand the campaign and cover the country's provincial areas. Wow, maybe he ought to contact the PR company for some staff training in messaging. Starting in March 2014, Wizz Air will fly between Vilnius and Kutaisi twice a week. Tickets are already available on the website, wizzair.com, starting from as low as $70 one way. In parliamentary news, following up on last week's story, MPs voted in favor of a constitutional amendment that will limit the power of the Prime Minister and increase the authority of the Parliament. We'll post the details on the forum. Check them out. They will be useful to know. As a reminder, the Georgian Dream Coalition initiated this amendment. The Parliament also approved the first reading, a bill on tightening the law against false reports of bombs. It will increase punishments on false calls about threats of terrorism with more serious fines, or corrective labor for a period of 1 to 2 years, or imprisonment for 2 to 5 years. Parliament began discussing a legislative amendment which will reduce the maximum term of imprisonment for administrative offenses from the current 90 days to 15 days. The amendment was put forward by Deputy Interior Minister Levan Izoria. Georgia's justice system differentiates between administrative offenses, which are misdemeanors, and criminal offenses. Penalties for administrative offenses range from a fine to imprisonment for up to 90 days. Maximum imprisonment terms for administrative offenses were increased from 30 to 90 days following the anti-government street protest rallies in 2009. The meme this week comes from Politra TV's program on Georgian inventors. In this video, you can see a shoe that works as a charger, improved 3D filming technologies, a trail erasing shoe, and a singing cup. Politra TV plans to introduce more interesting Georgians with their original projects in future features. Stuff to read this week. The paper Zero Tolerance Schooling, Education Policy, Crime, and Democracy in Post-Soviet Georgia by Nodar Tungiashvili and Gavin Slade explores the consequences of the massive investment in criminal justice in Georgia following the Rose Revolution. This is a really interesting concept and idea and way to understand what happened under the national movement. I'm not a big academic paper guy, but I highly recommend people reading this. Also, check out Gavin Slade's TEDx talk on thieves and law and his piece in Open Democracy called Georgia, The Politics of Punishment. An article on democracyfreedomwatch.net about the challenges with the EU's changes with EU's visa procedures. T.I. George's blog posts about living conditions of ecological migrants in Şahin. Article in The Economist titled Sex Selective Abortion Gendercide in the Caucasus. Article by Stephen Taylor in the Baltic Times entitled Georgia's Prime Minister Sends Mixed Signals. All these things to read will be posted in our forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 19.7, which is the percentage of the population over 60 in Georgia, according to a joint survey of UNFPA and HelpAge International in 2012. The number will increase up to 35.4 by 2050, according to statistical predictions. The United Arab Emirates has the lowest percentage of its total population age 60 and below, with only 1.4%. The highest percentage is found in Japan, which is already 31.6%. By 2050, 64 countries are expected to join Japan with an elderly population of over 30%. In 2012, the number of old people in the world increased to almost 810 million. It's projected to reach 1 billion in less than 10 years and double by 2050, reaching 2 billion. This week's English language movie at Rustavelli Theater across from Parliament are on Saturday the 28th of September, Runner Runner at 4 p.m. Tickets are 10 lotti 50 tetri. The Georgian Foundation for Strategic and International Studies sent out a call for applications for the 2013-14 professional training program called Capacity Building of the Georgian Leadership Community. Hope they get some uptake. Georgian civil society representatives, along with middle-level public servants of Georgia, are invited to apply to participate in the program. For details, check out their webpage, gfsis.org. On the 25th of September until the 2nd of October, the Folklore State Center of Georgia will host Erekle Tsuladze's personal exhibition of sculptures. The address is 68 Agmashenabeli Avenue. It's open from 11 to 6 p.m. On the 3rd until the 10th of October, the former building of the newspaper, The Communist, will host an exhibition titled The 90s Georgia. The address of the event is 14 Costava Street. We'll put more on the forum. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango X-ray, Tango Bravo, Uniform Kilo. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tpeelpod.com. That turquoise thing that you see there is the boxes. That's the forum, so take a look. And from 1959, we'll wrap up with well-known NASCAR racer and Western crooner birthday boy Marty Robbins and El Paso.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina, music would play and Felina would whirl. Blacker than night were the eyes of Felina, wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maiden, I was in love but in vain I could tell. One night a wild young cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind. Dashing and daring, a drink he was sharing with wicked Felina, the girl that I love. So in anger I challenged his right for the love of this maiden, down went his hand for the gun that he wore. My challenge was answered in less than a heartbeat. A handsome young stranger lay dead on the floor. Just for a moment I stood there in silence, shocked by the foul evil deed I had done. Many thoughts raced through my mind as I stood there. I had but one chance and that was to run. Out through the back door of Roses I ran, out where the horses were tied. I caught a good one, it looked like it could run, up on its back and away I did ride. Just as fast as I could from the West Texas town of El Paso, out to the badlands of New Mexico. Back in El Paso, my life would be worthless. Everything's gone in life, nothing is left. It's been so long since I've seen the young maid. My love is stronger than my fear of death. I saddled up and away I did go, riding alone in the dark. Maybe tomorrow a bullet may find me, tonight nothing's worse than this pain in my heart. And at last here I am on the hill overlooking El Paso, I can see Rose's Cantina below. My love is strong and it pushes me onward, down off the hill to Felina I go. Off to my right I see five mounted cowboys, off to my left right a dozen more. Shouting and shooting, I can't let them catch me, I have to make it to Rose's back door. Something is dreadfully wrong, for I feel a deep burning pain in my soul. Though I am trying to stay in the saddle, I'm getting weary, unable to ride. But my love for the leader is strong, and I rise where I fall. Though I am weary, I can't stop to rest. See the white puff of smoke from the rifle, I feel the bullet go deep in my chest. From
out of nowhere, Felina has found me, kissing my cheek as she kneels by my side. Cradled by two loving arms that I'll die for, one little kiss and goodbye.